Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 23, text number 6. Chapter entitled, The Brahmin's Wives Blessed. He Bhumi Deva Shanuta Krishnasya Desha Karana Karanaha. Prab, what is it, Prabtan?
You need a set of glasses?
Just something to read with. I just the Sanskrit, I'll get through it. Prabtan Janita Badram Vo. Thank you very much. Gopan no Rama Koditan. He Bhumi Deva Shrinuta Krishnasya Deshakarinaha Praptan Janita Bhajambo Gopan no Rama Koditan. Ebumi Deva Shrinuta. Krishnasya Deshakarinaha. Praptan Janita Bhajramvo. Gopan no Rama Koditan. Sorry, I pronounced Choditan, Koditan. Sometimes I get mixed up between Sanskrit and Spanish. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Maharajis? No. You don't want to try? Okay, we'll start with text 5. Iti adishta bhagavata gatva yachantate tacha tata kritanjali putta vipran Dandavat patitabhuvi. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmins with palms joined in supplication and then fell flat on the ground to offer respect. Text 6. The cowherd boys said, O earthly gods, please hear us. So that's the meaning of the first line. He Bhumi Deva. Bhumi Deva means? What? earthly gods, right? Gods of the earth, right? He means, as who was saying that? Oh, Gauravani was saying the other night, he means hey. Of course, it's a little more respectful, right? If we say, hey, Krishna, we're not saying, hey. Hey is not considered to be the most respectful way to greet somebody. Yeah, yes, yes, but what, in other words, the translation is a little bit different, right? It means it's a little more, it's more respectful. Right? Krishna, 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 hey, right? So when Gauravani Prabhu said it means hey, he was being a little informal. So, and Srinuta means what? Please hear us, right? So, Ebumi Deva Srinuta. Coward boy said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We coward boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Purport. The term Bhumi Deva, gods on earth, refers here to the Brahmins, who are supposed to be closely represent the will of the Supreme Lord. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not a primitive polytheistic doctrine holding that human beings on the earth are gods. Rather, it is a science that traces the descent of authority from the Absolute Truth Himself, Sri Krishna. The authority and power of God naturally extend along with the extension of His creation. And on the earth, the Lord's will and authority are represented by purified, enlightened men called Brahmins. This account will illustrate that the ritualistic Brahmins, approached by the coward boys, were not at all properly enlightened and thus could not appreciate the position of Krishna and Balaram, or that of their intimate associates. In fact, this pastime exposes the pretentious position of so-called Brahmins who are not faithful devotees of the Supreme Lord. Gyanatamarandasya giranjana salakya chakshu militandyena tasmai shri gurave namaha vancha kalpatrubhyas cha kripasindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So I'll speak for a few minutes and then we'll continue reading the offerings from the Sri Vyas Puja book from Srila Prabhupada's festival. And that way we can continue to nicely honor Srila Prabhupada and become absorbed more and more in appreciating him through hearing the realizations and appreciations of his very dear devotees, which is I think we all agree very important for all of us to hear. These devotees spent hours writing their realizations, distilling them, and putting them in the most wonderful way they possibly could to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So we're getting so much when we read these offerings. So this is a very nice pastime, as we know. And what's being explained here. First, I wanted to I just noticed one thing in one of the verses previously. Just an interesting archetype here. Krishna's instructing the boys. He's saying, when you go there, my dear coward boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. So this is the original the original instance of name dropping, which is proven in many cases to be very effective. Although here it wasn't very effective, even though they dropped the name of the Supreme Lord himself, Krishna and Balaram, still it didn't do any good. So we can understand the position, as being explained in this verse in Purpur, we can understand the position of these souls, these Brahmins who are puffed up with their position and so-called knowledge. And it's very interesting also, I've been reading a little bit in the first canto where Maharaj Prigat was cursed by Srini, the Brahmin who, by his actions, he was the initiator of the downfall of the Brahminical class, because by his pride and his carelessness, when he saw that his father had been garlanded with a snake by Maharaj Prigat, then he immediately cursed Maharaj Prigat to die without considering the position of this great soul, without considering the nature of offense, of the offense, or the lack of gravity of the offense, just wanting to impress his friends and show off his Brahminical power. Because of doing this, this initiated the downfall of the Brahminical class. And we can see how a person who is filled with pride does not see things clearly. It's called sambandha, the relationship. What is the relationship between Krishna and the devotees and this material world? We're Krishna's eternal servants. And because everyone is completely mixed up in terms of sambandha, the relationship between these three entities, everyone is going about their lives in the wrong way. They're seeing themselves as the center. And if they're not the center, then they're trying to establish themselves as the center, even though it's completely artificial. So they're seeing everything in relation to themselves and their own sense gratification. And that's how the Brahmins were seeing things. And because of that, they weren't able to understand Krishna and the cowherd boys, who they were, who they themselves were, and what the purpose of this material world is. Very, very horrendous situation they created. And we see that happening everywhere. Everyone is trying to be the lord of the material nature, not understanding what it means to be a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna's servant. So this is the situation that's ensuing here. And also, you see sometimes with devotees who have fallen away or are falling away, they stop appreciating the devotees and the association with advanced devotees to the point that obeisances are a thing of a past. They'll see a senior devotee and they'll think so many things. Hey, what's up? Or they'll try to avoid the devotee. Or so many things. They'll speak about a senior devotee in a way that's really contrary to religious principles. They're not remembering the position properly because of the pride that develops when one is absorbed in sense gratification and the lack of differentiation between those who are more advanced and those who are needing to take shelter of those who are more advanced. Or in relation to the deities too, when we lose our humility and we're filled with pride, we see the deities in a different way. We see Prabhupada in a different way. It's more casual, it's more on an equal level, and sometimes on an equal level at the most. So this is the case of the Brahmins. You see, and we see how they react in a very offensive way. And their attitude is contrasted with the attitude of their wives, which is perfect. So it's a very nice pastime. And we'll be getting more and more involved in it as we read on. So I'd like to stop there with your permission to continue reading these offerings. Is that okay? Because as we were saying, the way things are, hopefully we can change them a little bit. There's not really that much time to get so absorbed in meditation on Srila Prabhupada and Vyas Puj Day. So devotees have come up with different suggestions how we can make it better and better as the years go by. And also, no matter how much time we spend glorifying Prabhupada, even if we spend hours and hours glorifying him on his appearance day, there's no end to the amount that we can glorify him, because he's giving us everything that we have, that we are. As we were discussing the other day, we might think we had some good qualities before we became devotees. We were this or that. We were recognized in this way and that way, and we had the ability to do this and to do that. So, whereas Prabhupada helped us a lot, can we really say that we owe everything to Prabhupada? And the answer is yes, because all those things were a big zero. Not only a zero, they were a minus. Everything we had was a minus, because it was leading us to hell. Because we're utilizing everything we had in the service of Maya, creating so much karmic reaction. Who knows what birth we would have taken in our last life, in our next life. Even if we were engaged in activities that were somewhat in the mode of goodness, that somewhat is an important word. It's not that because we did a few nice things, helped a few old people across the street, that we were going to the heavenly planets, something like that. So Prabhupada was that big one that changed our lives, helped us utilize everything, showed us how to utilize, forced us by his love to utilize everything in Krishna's service. And because of that, everything we had, all those zeros, became of value, so much value, because of that one in front. So, I'd like to, the other day we read beautiful offerings by Shivaram Swami, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, and Giriraj Swami. The offerings are on krishna.com. And I was told they're also on Dandavats now. So, if you want to take time to read through some of these, we'll only have time to get through a few today. I'd like to read the offerings of the devotees that I know. Of course, I know a lot of devotees. A lot of my god brothers have written such nice offerings. And I wanted to read Anuttama Prabhu's offering, because he's an extremely dedicated disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And I have great respect for him. I know him very well. And I like his offering very much. So, Anuttama Prabhu. Yes, Anuttama. GBC. Amagyana Tamarandas Yagaranjana Salakaya Chakshu Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Then he quotes, Krishna is the person we are all looking for. Then he says, one of your disciples spoke these words to me when I first visited a Hare Krishna temple in 1974. They weighed heavily on me. I was looking for something or someone to give purpose to my life. that everything I had tried was shallow and unfulfilling. Every experience promised much and provided little. You shined hope into my heart on that day, and you have continued to do so throughout my life. Today, on your Vyasa Puja Day, I offer my gratitude for your kindness, light, and guidance. As you describe in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the world is moving at an ever-increasing pace. The measure of success is now defined by the mode of passion. Just like we experience a degree of success if we can get from one place to the next faster than previously. So is that good? How does it feel riding in an airplane? Or how does it feel having to get on the freeway the first thing you do in the day to get to where you need to go to work? I know from where I'm staying at Deva Prastavu's, you can go one of two ways. You can go the faster way on the freeway, and you can go the nice way, pass by White Rock Lake, etc. And whenever there's time, we always take the scenic route, because it's so much more pleasing on the consciousness. You get on the freeway, it's hellish. But people are thinking, yeah, you can get from here to there faster, so let's go that way. But what does it do to our consciousness? Everything just speeding up all the time. Prabhupada calls it driving at breakneck speed. Why is it called like that? How many necks has it broken? And they all have all these records now. The fastest person who can do that, fastest person who can do that, that speed. But is it increasing the quality of our life? That's the point. And that's what he's explaining here. People today are on call 24/7. We communicate nonstop, but have no time to reflect. So there's so much communicating going on, but how much reflection is going on through that communication? We rush ever faster without considering our goal. We chase products without consideration of purpose. So-called success breeds more and more stress. As this age progresses in complexity, it is disturbing to see how much of the world's strife is seeded by religious people with seemingly good intentions. I thought I'd read this first because it reflects on the consciousness of the Brahmins who were approached by the cowherd boys. While knowledge of God and transcendence should evoke saintly qualities and a reduction of conflict, it is not always so. From Puri to Jerusalem, I have sadly observed how pujaris and priests often abuse their positions and the pilgrims who come to them. They abuse their positions and they abuse the pilgrims. All over the world, in the name of holy righteousness, purity, and the execution of, quote, God's will, extremist Hindus battle extremist Muslims, who battle extremist Christians, who battle extremist Jews, and on and on. In service to you, the devotees serving with ISKCON Communications have entered into a dialogue with anti-cult groups. I didn't know that was still going on. Who have the power to harm us, parenthesis, as in the recent attack on your Bhagavad Gita in Russia. These exchanges offer us the opportunity to listen and respond to our harshest critics. We are trying to learn how ISKCON can avoid the traps of isolation, sectarianism, and extremism that plague religious societies in this age. Isolation, sectarianism, extremism. The solution, I believe, lies in humbly following you. We need to be honest with ourselves about our shortcomings while remaining open to being corrected by you and your representatives again and again. If we are not cautious, we can be easily deviated from the path you have laid out for us. As you instructed, spiritual life is a razor's edge. This applies not only individually, but communally as well. If we do not carefully follow in your footsteps, we risk becoming another arrogant, myopic community without global impact and the purity to bring about real change. I'm sorry, what does myopic mean?
Nearsighted.
Therefore, your presence and example must remain central in our hearts, in our daily decisions, and in the systems and structures we create. You taught us not just through your words, but in the very ways you lived Krishna consciousness, in every word and action. Then he has bullet points here. One bullet point. You had the humility and compassion to live with hippies, the young, lost, and often deranged of New York and San Francisco, as you carefully planted the seed of bhakti within their hearts. You did not judge them. You served them as guru, loving friend, and caring parent. Next point. You had the patience to train and endlessly correct your early leaders who struggled to represent you. You did not lose hope for them. You gave them carefully crafted direction and more opportunity for service. Next. You had the determination to build a global society and organization despite all obstacles and challenges, welcoming all castes, creeds, and nations. You did not gloat over your success. You always considered yourself a simple servant of your Guru Maharaj. Next point. You had the broad-mindedness to tell priests in Australia that Jesus is our guru. You did not minimize their faith. You respected it. Yet you urged the religious to take their own principles more seriously while asserting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next point. You had the faith to instruct your followers to become gurus, as ordered by Lord Chaitanya. You believed in them, yet you told them they must submit to a shared authority and cooperative endeavor. You had the vision to establish ISKCON's governing body commission and willed it to be the, quote, ultimate managing authority of your society. Yet you affirmed that its authority rests in allegiance to our founder Acharya and that its members, as good disciples, must set an example as, quote, perfect gentlemen and ladies. Srila Prabhupada, please always show us the way forward by your teaching and example. As each year passes, we realize again how dependent we are upon your mercy and how fortunate we are to have you forever as our founder Acharya. Prabhupada ki jai. Another fully dedicated disciple of Srila Prabhupada who comes here periodically, who I've known actually ever since I joined. He also went to college, or I was going to college, although I didn't know him in college. This is Rompat Swami. Extremely dedicated ISKCON man. He comes here, right? From time to time?
Rarely.
Once in a while. Ever so often. Mukham karati vachalam pangam langayate girim yad kripa tamaham bande shigurum dinataranam. My dear and most respected spiritual master and eternal father, please accept my most humble and respectful obeisances in the dust of your most merciful lotus feet. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. This offering reminded me of Ravindra Sarup's offering. Remember, he was defining bhakti as the yoga of what? Do you remember? Cooperation, right? That's what love means, really. Serve each other together. Even before you ventured onto Western soil on the order of your spiritual master, you had an expansive vision of a vibrant worldwide Sangha Vaishnav spanning all cultures, languages, nations, races, and ways of life. This vision was inherited from your Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who in return received this vision from the brilliant luminary Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. On the cusp of ISKCON's 50-year golden anniversary, we can only admire with utmost reverence and appreciate the work you have accomplished in manifesting such an enormous vision. In your own words to us, your disciples, this was made possible only by your placing implicit faith in the words of your spiritual master. May we steadfastly follow the essence of your personal example by likewise internalizing your words with implicit faith. The expansiveness of your 11 years of divine missionary work in establishing ISKCON worldwide is unprecedented in world history. To enhance your pleasure, I am delighted to report that the diversity of languages and cultures reached by the message of Bhagavad Dharma has expanded in vast degrees since your departure from this world 35 years ago. Proportionately, the range of types of individuals your ISKCON has attracted is likewise so diverse. Similarly, the ways of conducting outreach activity to bring the message of pure bhakti to diverse audiences have also become enormously diverse. As this diversity grows and grows over time, your early instructions regarding how to maintain ISKCON's unity provide essential keys as to how integrity with the message you have given can be preserved. One such instruction came in a letter to Kirtananda Swami dated 18 October 1973. Material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in this Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. The materialist, without being able to adjust the varieties and the disagreements, makes everything zero. They cannot come into agreement with varieties. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity and diversity. That will make our movement successful. End quote. Of course, not that we accept any diverse view. It also has to be based on Prabhupada's teachings, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So unity and diversity doesn't mean whatever you do is great. So where to draw the line? That takes wisdom. He continues, unity and diversity. Very simple and absolutely sublime. Without the proper center, however, diversity breeds dissension. Individual, personalized expression of the essence of Krishna consciousness is perfectly natural. Only impersonalism would dictate otherwise. When the expression of one's individuality is encouraged in spirit, it is natural that such a devotee will be highly productive and enlivened. Honoring the merit of individual expression, you wrote to Karandar Das on the 22nd of December, 1972. I'm sure you're all familiar with these letters. They're famous letters. So the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright. So long as the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, and that they are all rising before 4 morning, attending Mangal Arati, our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. Then comes the next challenge. That's end quote. How to harmonize multiple simultaneous expressions of individuality. Entropy needs to attain harmony. Such a challenge is met by taking advantage of, quote, the form direction of the Lord. There I am again, not a good vocabulary. Entropy, Prajapati Prabhu.
The energies come back in and on themselves.
The ends come back in.
In other words, a collapse.
Okay. Or coming together?
Well, the opposite of nice coming together. Entropy is when things fall apart.
Okay. So that's what he's saying. Then comes the next challenge. How to harmonize multiple simultaneous expressions of individuality. Entropy needs to attain harmony. Such a challenge is met by taking advantage of, quote, the form direction of the Lord, end quote. Or intelligence, Srimad Bhagavatam 2225 purport, by being respectful toward God's individual gifts to others, and by remaining motivated by a pure, sincere desire to please you, our founder Acharya, and Krishna. Pleasing Krishna must be consciously accepted at the very center of each soul's expression of individuality. You write, this is a purport to the Bhagavatam 368. Since the living entities are very small, they are sometimes described as the material energy, marginal energy of the Lord. But the mystic yogis consider the living entities as the supersoul, Paramatma, to be one and the same. It is, however, a minor point of controversy. After all, everything created rests on the gigantic Virat, or universal form of the Lord. That's a very liberal statement by Srila Prabhupada, and that's the point Rohanpan Maharaj is taking. Pleasing Krishna must be consciously accepted at the very center of each soul's expression of individuality. In other words, we have to see that. And of course, they have to see it as well. My personal dedication in my service to you this year has been to extend maximum effort in fostering loving relationships among devotees with whom I am in contact. Your above instructions provide powerful tools to bring this focus into reality. I pray at your lotus feet for the requisite purity, strength, and intelligence to assist you in this way. Please accept my prostrated obeisances again and again. Aspiring for your eternal service, I remain your humble disciple, Rohanpan Swami. So, thank you. So fostering loving relationships amongst devotees, if we are able to appreciate this point of unity and diversity, then we can do that. Otherwise, if someone feels differently than me about something that I feel very strongly about, because I'm feeling really dedicated to Prabhupada and this movement, if we're not accepting the unity and diversity and all these points that are being made, then we become inimical toward that person. That person also feels very strongly about about his particular feelings, because he's also feeling very dedicated. Because we're all individuals, we can't all expect to see things in the same way. So Prabhupada was encouraging the expression of that individuality in that letter to Karandar and also to Kirananda Swami. So how to have loving relationships even though we don't agree on everything, because we're not going to agree on everything. So we have to see beyond the disagreements and see what the unity is. The unity is that we're all serving Prabhupada and serving Krishna. And that's what should attract us to one another over and above every other difference. So when we're pushing forward, when we want to go forward together as a movement or as a yatra, these points are of the utmost importance. We know how important it is to have loving relationships. Without that, we're alienated. And we also know how important it is to push on this movement. And the most important way of pushing on this movement is to show by our example that we love each other. That's what people are missing, and that we love them too. But if they don't see the love, if they see us bickering, then they'll say, well, it's like everything else. It's the same everywhere else. Right? And of course, this holds true not only in terms of our movement, but in terms of our personal relationships and relationship husband to wife, right? If we accept this principle of unity and diversity, we can go forward together. Otherwise, start bickering and see that the differences is more important than what the foundation that of Krishna consciousness that a husband and wife are united upon. So, a very nice offering by Parthasarathi Prabhu, who's a wonderful, wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I got to know him a little bit in Govardhan. He's a fantastic sadhaka, very realized and intelligent. I haven't read his offering yet, but I'm sure it's very sweet. Please accept my humble obeisances, all glories unto you, dear Srila Prabhupada. Recently, while residing in the shade of Govardhan Hill, I was honored to listen to your morning walks, Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and conversations recorded 37 years ago when you visited South Africa. That's where he's from. Listening to your transcendental voice is very relishable and an intimate way of associating with your divine grace. I've also been trying to increase my appreciation of your sincere followers. I want to develop genuine love for all your associates, whether big, guru, or small, lagu. During the history of the South African Yatra and ISKCON in general, so many Vaishnavas have come and apparently gone. All of them contributed something to your mission, and therefore, you will not fail to notice their sacrifice. Like the multifarious immediate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have many followers, and all should be appreciated. Daily, I offer my respects to your divine grace and your numerous followers in the mood of this passage from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 10, 4 through 7. Chaitanya Goshanira Yatra Parishad Chaya Guru Lagu Bhavatanra Na Hoya Nishchaya. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were many, but none of them should be considered lower or higher. This cannot be ascertained. Next verse. Yata yata mahanta kaila tan sabara ganana keha koribare nare jeshta lagu krama. All the great personalities in the line of Lord Chaitanya enumerated these devotees, but they could not distinguish between the greater and the lesser. Ateva tan sabare kare namaskara namamatra kare dosa na labe amara. I offer my obeisances unto them as a token of respect. I request them not to consider my offenses. Vande Krishna, Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Premananda Taro Priyan, Sakarupan Bhaktaganan, Krishna Prema Pala Pradhan. I offer my obeisances to all the dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal tree of love of Godhead. I offer my respects to all the branches of the tree, the devotees of the Lord who distribute the fruit of love of Krishna. And then there's Prabhupada's purport to that last verse that he read in that sequence of verses. So that's purport to Adi 4, Adi 10, 7. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami sets the example of offering obeisances to all the preacher devotees of Lord Chaitanya without distinction as to higher and lower. Unfortunately, at present, there are many foolish so-called devotees of Lord Chaitanya who make such distinctions. For example, the title of Prabhupada is offered to a spiritual master, especially to a distinguished spiritual master such as Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada, or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Whenever our disciples similarly wanted to address their spiritual master as Prabhupada, some foolish people became envious. This is Prabhupada talking now in the purport. Not considering the propaganda work of the Hare Krishna movement, simply because these disciples addressed their spiritual master as Prabhupada, they became so envious that they formed a faction along with other such envious persons just to minimize the value of the Krishna consciousness movement. To chastise such fools, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very frankly says, Keya koribare nare jeshta lagu krama. Anyone who is a bona fide preacher of the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be respectful to the real devotees of Lord Chaitanya. One should not be envious, considering one preacher to be very great and another to be very lowly. This is a material distinction and has no place on the platform of spiritual activities. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami therefore offers equal respect to all the preachers of the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to the branches of the tree. ISKCON is one of these branches, and it should therefore be respected by all sincere devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And purport. And Maharaj continues, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, I would also like to humbly offer my respects to all your exalted disciples and grand disciples and great grand disciples. By pleasing them, I can please you. By serving them, I can serve you. It is anugatya seva or anugatya dharma. Both on this plane and in Goloka Vrindavan, this concept of being the servant of the servant is essential. In your apparent physical absence, my esteemed godbrothers are my only shelter. If I can serve them and please them, I am confident that this will please you. I accept your desire and instruction as coming through them. I don't have the strength to approach you directly, but I can approach you through those who know how to serve you. I'm very wretched, worthless, insignificant, and destitute, and I pray one day to be recognized as your disciple. So for the time being, I will offer my respects to all of your followers without consideration of Guru Lagu Bhava, the conception of higher or lower. You have touched the heart of so many devotees, and although over the years they may have temporarily drifted from the strict practice of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, they still feel some incredible attachment to your divine grace. In French, it is, I don't know how to pronounce it, je ne sais quoi. You possess a special, unique, indescribable quality that endears you to your followers. Perhaps in some future lifetime, I could call myself a real follower and disciple of your divine grace. But for now, let me rub my head in the dust of your true followers, whether they are guru or lagu. I remain your servant, Parthasarathi Das Goswami. Prabhupada ki jai. It's a very nice disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And last, I'd like to read an offering just from one of the centers in the mood of not distinguishing between guru and lagu, the higher and the lower, in a superficial way, weekend, or in any way. I wanted to read an offering. I was looking for just a regular offering. So this is from New Vrajadham. I was there, Shivaram Swami's farm in Hungary. I was there maybe 15 years ago. Unbelievable then. It's even more unbelievable now what he's actually done, establishing Varnashram there. It's unbelievable. And not only Varnashram, but it's called New Vrajadham. He's establishing all this, the holy places in Raj right there on the farm. New Vrajadham. Some very important instructions in here. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our respectful obeisances, all glories to your divine grace. Please let me thank you. First, let me thank you for giving me the opportunity to write an offering for your Vyasa Puja book. I feel deep purification and bliss when I'm thinking about your divine qualities. So the author, it's signed, Your Servants at New Vrajadham, ISKCON's rural community in Hungary. It's obviously written by one devotee who chose to not put his name. Actually, that was an instruction in the I remember an instruction that, when we were first writing the Vyasa Puja books, because, so something like that, maybe I'm wrong, but we were listening to all the devotees in the temple, and it was just getting longer and longer and longer and longer. It was taking up pages of the Vyasa Puja. So they just said, write just from your servants at the temple, something like that. But yes, it wasn't said then that you shouldn't put the name of the devotee who wrote it. So this devotee is being very humble, not putting his name or her name. I feel deep purification and bliss when I'm thinking about your divine qualities. Let us express our greatest gratitude for what you have given us. If I tried to list everything, I would never reach the end. You personally trained your disciples how to cook for Krishna, how to distribute prasadam, how to put on tilak, how to dress and worship the deities, how to play mridanga, how to give class on Srimad Bhagavatam, how to open a temple and a gurukula, how to start a farm community, how to establish varnashram, and how to write books and then distribute them. Yes, you showed us how to distribute books. In India, you personally went out and sold Back to Godhead magazines. And in New York, when you first came to the West, you personally sold your Srimad Bhagavatam volumes to bookstores. But your greatest focus was on teaching us how to chant Hare Krishna without offense. You often quoted this verse from the Padma Purana. Smartavyasa tatam Vishnur Vishmartavyo na jaduchit Sarve vidi nisheda syor etayor eva kinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. In your purport to this verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22.1.13, you strongly recommended that your disciples follow this principle. Quote, "Of all the regular principles," you write, "the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential." End quote. We can clearly understand that to remember Krishna, which is the essence of that verse, we can clearly understand that to remember Krishna, we have to chant Hare Krishna. You clearly explained it in your purports to those four verses in the Bhagavad Gita 8:5-8, where Krishna speaks about remembrance of him. In every purport, you mention the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you reach the conclusion that in this age, especially chanting Hare Krishna, is the best and easiest way to remember Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, let us express our deepest gratitude to you for giving us the holy name. We pray we can continue to accept this matchless gift with all humility, and that our appreciation for this gift will steadily grow. We are convinced that this will please you. Your servants at New Rajadham Iskand's rural community in Hungary. So this is nice. As Srila Prabhupada told Ramaswara Maharaj, he was telling about all the programs for spreading Krishna consciousness, and he told Ramaswara, first save yourself. In other words, that's the priority. Not that we spend our whole lives meditating on how to save ourselves, and once we're saved, then no, it all goes together. But in other words, what's our priority during the day? We have to become fixed up in our own Krishna consciousness before we can give it to others. You can't give what you don't have. So here, the devotee is stressing what Prabhupada has stressed, giving various references, that we have to chant without offense, and we have to chant. So how do we remember Krishna? By chanting Hare Krishna. But we have to chant nicely. Otherwise, we'll be remembering what we thought about while we were chanting Hare Krishna instead of Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna implies that you're focused on Krishna, just like Prabhupada said, chant with attention and feeling. So that feeling is our feeling for Krishna. And if that feeling is there, we'll relish it. And I will obviously be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So important to chant nicely, to take it very seriously, to work on it constantly, improving our japa. There's no end, right? Never, we can never say, well, finally got my japa down. Can't say that. It's like saying, I finally love Krishna exactly the way I'm supposed to do it. No need for increasing anymore my service. But the devotees in Vrindavan are always never satisfied with their service and always wanting to increase it, just like Parthasarathi Maharaj was saying. How he doesn't even consider himself a devotee, a disciple. So his only salvation is to take shelter of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, big or small. We're all disciples of Prabhupada, and serve them. It's very nice. So there's so much here in this book, so much. I feel fortunate to be able to share this with you, because reading together, it helps us focus more. And I'd love to do this as much as possible before I leave. Okay, any questions, comments? Any questions or comments from anyone who's listening? Does anyone have a cell phone here? Okay, well, we go off the air, I think, in 5 minutes. So if no one has a cell phone, then no one can call from outside to make a comment or ask a question. But if there's anyone here who has something, okay. Has anyone read any more from this Vyasa Puja book? Okay, if you're taking time out to study, which hopefully you are, maybe you just want to glance through it. We all have our favorite devotees. We'd like to hear what they have to say. We've all heard of various sannyasis, just like for years I was hearing about this amazing devotee, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who had this traveling party called Radha Damodara with Vishnu Janan Swami. And then I heard they were coming to San Diego, which is where I was. And I was so excited. I was going to be finally able to meet Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I had already met Vishnu Janan Swami. So it was very, very special. Very special. So I'm sure you've heard about so many devotees in the movement, even if you haven't met them. It's called Purva Rag. That affection is there. The gopis felt that Purva Rag for Krishna even before meeting him. So it's not exactly the same with us, but that the seeds of that mood are there. Our love for the devotees before we meet them. So this is how you can nicely meet so many devotees. Yes, Prabhu. Could you put that on? Okay. We don't have much time. Just say what you're going to...
I was going to say, someone recently mentioned maybe a Prabhupada Preservation Committee of some sort. Was that you or someone else that mentioned within GBC or within ISKCON there's going to be now a committee to try and preserve Prabhupada?
Yes, within ISKCON there's going to be a committee to preserve Prabhupada's legacy. Yeah, that was written by somebody. I forget who it was. That we read together, or I remember reading it myself, or maybe it was in one of the Vyasa Puja offerings. Yes. Well, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
And of course, the best way to preserve the legacy is by, well, of course, it starts with hearing and chanting about Prabhupada. And by this hearing and chanting, we become enthused to serve him and his followers. Hare Krishna.